OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Acharei Kedoshim. It's a double sedra, used to be called Acharei Mot, after the death, referring to the deaths of two of the sons of Aharon HaKohen, Nadav and Avihu. A lot of people, for, I guess, aesthetic reasons, refer to it as Acharei, after, without having to include the word Mot, the death of. Be that as it may, it is a double sedra together with Kedoshim. These two sedras are combined in all 12-month, 1 Adar years, and they are separated during a 13-month year. With 2 Adars, we have an extra 4 or 5 Shabbatot in such a year, and we need to fill out Parshat HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading, and that's one of the purposes, not the only one, but one of the purposes of those pairs of sedras that are sometimes combined and sometimes separate. Recording and first broadcast is on Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 6th of Iyar 5769, the 30th of April. Yesterday was Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Israel Independence Day. We are now looking away from it towards what's coming up on the calendar. It will give us an opportunity to spend some time with Parshiot of Acharei and Kedoshim, since the next calendar event of any note is next Friday, Pesach Sheni. I hope to speak about it on Thursday. But in the meantime, that's our story for today and our plan. I have 2 a cappella songs, which I would like to play for you. I'll talk about that in a moment. But now let us do Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya, Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imecha haslicha lama'an tivare. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha umeyafela laora, umishibud lageula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. As I mentioned last week, and it really becomes practical now, the guidelines that we try to follow on Torah Tidbits Audio for music, both during the 3-week mourning for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash in the summertime, as well as the mournful period of the Omer, is to play a cappella music, meaning no musical instrumentation, just vocal, voice. And additionally, I personally add my own further restriction, which is a little flexible, and that is to keep it to slow, somber, moody kind of melodies and words, rather than just use no musical instrument, a cappella. They could sing as happy as they want. Something bothers me about that during this mournful period. So I have 2 selections from an a cappella album produced by Noam Productions. And the one I would like to play now is called Rachem. The words come from the Friday night Zmira called Tzur Mishalo. The words of the song are only the first line, Rachem Bechastecha Al Amecha Tzureinu. But I want to read the whole stanza. Rachem bechasdecha al amecha tzureinu, al tzion mishkan kivodecha zavul beit tifartenu. Have compassion in your love for your people, our rock, tzureinu, a nickname of God, for Zion, your home of glory, temple of our splendor. Ben David avdecha yavov yigalenu, ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem. The son of David, your servant, may he come and redeem us, breath of our life, anointed of God. This song, and many others as well, recognizes the fact that this world is judged by God on two levels. A level of din, strict judgment, by which we could not survive, by which Adam HaRishon would not have survived the eating of from the tree, and an admixture with din of rachamim, mercy. That is the basis on which we are able to survive. That is the basis on which we are able to turn to God and say, true, your people, the people of Israel, are not deserving on a level of din, strict judgment, for what we ask, and therefore have compassion in your love for your people, for Zion, your home of glory, temple of our splendor, etc. Rachem bechazdecha al amecha tzureinu. Have mercy on your people and your love for your people, you should have mercy on Zion and Israel, etc. I suggest in this type of song that you lean back and close your eyes and let the song go from the speaker into your ears, from your ears, not just to your brain to evaluate what's going on, but into your heart and your soul as well. And as always, I try to have the songs of Torah Tidbits Audio be prayers which we could relate to and focus towards God. Rachem.
Rachem, oy,
The first of this week's two sedras, Acharei or Acharei Mot, is not quite a single topic sedra, but close to it. We could certainly break it down into two parts, and we wouldn't have left much out of it. So we'll call it a double topic. The first is Seder Avodat Yom HaKippurim, the service in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple service of Yom Kippur. A very involved, intricate, detailed service performed mostly by the Kohen Gadol himself with minimal help from other Kohanim. The other major topic is the list of forbidden sexual relationships, according to Jewish law. And what's interesting, taking them together with the Yom Kippur part, is that we read the first part of Acharei on the morning of Yom Kippur, in addition to do it in the weekly Sedra this Shabbat. And in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, we read the last part of Acharei, about the forbidden relationships. Part of the message is that there is nothing in Jewish life and in Judaism that better epitomizes our quest for holiness than our limitations and restrictions when it comes to our sexual behavior. Note, very importantly, that our quest for holiness does not include abstention from physical contact of a sexual nature. We don't believe that celibacy for any group or for the whole, obviously for the whole it would be problematic, but not for the clergy and not for the higher echelon. Celibacy is not the Jewish path towards sanctity and towards holiness. But proper sexual conduct is very, very important. Abstention when required, very praiseworthy. Abstention just for the sake of depriving oneself is not generally viewed in Jewish life as the proper path towards holiness. Train of thought, just as an analogy, the power of speech. There is a school of thought that says you can protect yourself from abusing your power of speech, be it gossip or lashon hara or profanities or whatever, by minimizing your use of the power of speech. The ultimate being a ta'anit dibur, a fast from speaking. you remain silent, you're not going to abuse the power of your speech. Comes the Chafetz Chaim, who is the main proponent, we'll say, of Shmirat HaLashon, the most famous noteworthy author on the topic, there are many others as well, of guarding your tongue. And he basically says there's no trick to guard your tongue by not talking. The trick, the challenge, and the Jewish way is to use your power of speech constructively, properly, and avoid gossip and lashon hara and defaming character and embarrassing people and talking nonsense and misleading people. That is the challenge. No big deal just to abstain from talking. Talk, but do it properly, constructively, within the guidelines of halacha. What follows acharei, and not just in the sequence of the Torah, but, as I mentioned before, on the same Shabbat, and the end of acharei is linked to the beginning of Kedoshim. Whenever you have a double sedra, the two sedras are linked in the fourth aliyah that you call a person to the Torah on the Shabbat reading. You don't stop at the end of the first sedra and then continue with the second, but they are joined by that fourth aliyah. Kedoshim Tihyu, God's command to us to be holy. Question, how am I supposed to do that? In addition to reflecting on the content of the whole parsha of Kedoshim, which we will, just look back at what we just read. We were talking about abstention and adherence to the prohibitions of sexual misconduct. That is a major, major factor and a major step in one's pursuit of becoming a holy person. If I could then say that going from the specific of the end of acharei to the more inclusive content of Parshat Kedoshim, then you have to look at the following. Kedoshim Tihyu raises the question in your mind as to how one is supposed to pursue holiness. Does it mean climbing a high mountain in Nepal or somewhere else in the Himalayas to find a guru that has isolated himself at a mountaintop and contemplates all day long? No. The answer to Kedoshim Tihyu is contained in the Parsha of Kedoshim and elsewhere in the Torah, of course. The Parsha says, first of all, the Parsha contains 64 verses, which makes it a short reading. Those 64 verses contain 51 mitzvot, 51 out of 613, a tremendous number of mitzvot. For any sedra, you have your top at 74 for Ki Teitzei, 63 in Emor, 55 in Re'eh, 53 in Mishpatim, number 5 on the all-time mitzvah list is Kedoshim with 51. But now, compare it to the size of the Sedra, and Kedoshim goes from 5th place to 1st place. I use the term mitzvah density, which could be measured by mitzvot per verse, or per 100 verses, or per 1,000 verses, or per column in a Torah, however you want to quantify it. If you compare with other sedras, by far, Kedoshim is the most mitzvah-dense sedra, and it fits the idea that if we're talking about the overall command of Kedoshim Tihyu, thou shalt be holy, which we are not, by the way, going to count among the 613 mitzvot, because it is like a super mitzvah, then the rest of the sedra gives us a wide variety of mitzvot, some of which we will get to, as to how to go about living a Torah mitzvah life in one's striving towards fulfilling God's command of Kedoshim Tihiyu, God's promise of Va'atem Tihiyu Li Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, you will be a holy nation. And that quest of Kedusha finds its help in many, many different kinds of mitzvot, some very lofty and some very mundane and down to earth, and it's all part of the package deal as to how we are supposed to do Kedoshim Tihiyu. Let's fill this out a little bit more. Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire community of Israel. Men, women, children, they're all in this. V'yomarta aleihem, and speak to them, say to them, Kedoshim Tihiyu, be holy. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I am holy, says God your God. And then it continues with mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah. First one, Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. A person wants to know how to live a life of mitzvot. Start with proper reverence to your parents, the people who brought you into this world. A person, his mother and father, he shall revere. Ve'et shabtotai tishmoru, and keep the Shabbat. These are two key, commandment number 5 and commandment number 4, very similar to these in words, beginning of how to become a holy person. Revere your parents and keep the Shabbat. We'll talk more about this shortly.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
We were talking about the mitzvot of Kedoshim. You're listening to Torah Tidbits Audio, as Rod Serling has pointed out. And we were talking specifically about the first verse following the one that says we shall be holy. And it spoke of reverence for parents and keeping the Shabbat. A famous analysis in Talmudic literature on this verse is that even though one must revere his parents, which includes essentially doing things for them and listening to them and not contradicting them, if it comes to a head where a parent tells a child to violate Shabbat, the Torah comes and says everybody has to keep the Shabbat, then the Torah is reminding us that your parents, as well as you, are commanded to keep the Shabbat, and therefore a parent has no right or authority to command you to do something that is against the Torah or any part of Halakha, and you're not allowed to listen. However, you must be as respectful as possible when it comes to disobeying them in this area. Let me give, not with Shabbat, but with another everyday kind of situation for some people. A father says to his son, listen, you're going to the candy store anyway to pick up the newspaper and some snacks. When you're there, get me a carton of cigarettes. A child, a person is not allowed to smoke. Let's not get into all the whys and the wherefores. I am working under on the premise that smoking is forbidden by Jewish law. And furthermore, a child is not allowed to do anything to injure his parents. Therefore, says in a definitive halachic ruling, Rav Chaim David Halevi of blessed memory, former chief rabbi of Tel Aviv Yafo, the Sephardi chief rabbi, he writes in his work that it would be forbidden for the child to buy the cigarettes for his father. It would be like injuring his father, which is forbidden to do. However, a child cannot be disrespectful. You have to say, "Father, I love you. I would love to do things for you. I know that I'm supposed to, but I do not want to buy cigarettes for you because it's not healthy to smoke. It's forbidden by Jewish law to smoke, and I don't want to contribute to hurting you." If a father were to say, "Don't be a wise guy, I told you to get me those cigarettes and I want them," the child has a serious problem. I don't know how to solve it for him. He needs more than just listening to Torah Tidbits audio. I chose this as an example, but it's something to keep in mind. And the source is Ish Imo Ve'aviv Tira'u Ve'ed Sham Totai Tishmoru Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That verse, Leviticus Vayikra, chapter 19, verse 3. Obviously, you have to accept the premise that it is forbidden to smoke according to Jewish law. I don't have any problems with that. There are people who do, and that's their problem. And I've argued with many a smoker to try to convince them that it is plain and simple, forbidden by Jewish law to do so. And some people are aware of that, some people accept that, and other people, because of their addiction, are not willing to accept it. But that's another issue. Now, the Torah continues, Al tifnu el ha'elilim. Do not turn to idols, and don't make idols. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So it's not just, and we're not going to be able to do justice to this, to go through all of the mitzvot here, but already we're beginning to see that there's a sequence here. How am I supposed to be holy? Among other ways, revere my parents and keep the Shabbat, and not to turn to idol worship. And it goes on and on and on with a whole bunch of mitzvot, and I will pick and choose in order to make various points. Lo tignovu, you shall not steal, velo techachashu, and you shall not keep that which belongs to someone else, even though it came into your hands legitimately. You borrowed something, and now you deny that you borrowed it because you want to keep it. That's a form of stealing. Velo tishakru ish bamito, and you can't lie about it. And you can't swear falsely, certainly, to deny that you have something which belongs to someone else. You're not allowed to take advantage and cheat someone in business. You're not allowed to rob. And you're not allowed to leave a worker's wages over for the morning. Let me talk a little bit about this mitzvah. It's an amazing mitzvah if you think of it. First of all, the fact that the Torah puts together robbing and delaying wages to a laborer says a lot. It says you might not think that that's a form of theft because you are going to pay him the next day, the next week. You're just a little short now. It's a little inconvenient now. That's not stealing. Comes the Torah and says, I beg your pardon, it really is. Because a day laborer works on the basis of getting paid at the conclusion of his job or whatever, and the Torah does not give you permission to delay paying him. Technical point, what if the worker says okay when you say, can I pay you tomorrow instead of today? Well, if he says okay, then you have not violated this commandment, nor have you fulfilled it. Let me clarify that. There are two mitzvot in the Torah that relate to this issue. One is the prohibition here in Parshat Kedoshim, forbidding delaying of the wages. If the worker agrees, then it is not considered a violation of this prohibition. Elsewhere in the Torah is a positive mitzvah to pay a worker on time. In that situation, if you delay, even with his agreement, you have not fulfilled one of the mitzvot of the Torah. And that is something a person should take seriously as well. Moving along and skipping, we come to a famous mitzvah, V'lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Do not put a stumbling block before the blind. Now, literally, a stumbling block before the blind is if you see a person walking down the street with a blind man's cane, and he is going just by the feel, he can't see, and you stick your foot out or put something in his way that he trips over, then you have placed a stumbling block before the blind, and that's a nasty thing to do and a forbidden thing to do. But that's not what this verse means. Here they're referring to the figurative blind, a person who is not aware of something. I know a certain food is not kosher. The other person does not, and I feed it to him. I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't eat non-kosher. What I did wrong was place a stumbling block before the blind. And that is forbidden. Any of these things that I'm mentioning have a lot to discuss, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. But let me just share a rabbinic offshoot of V'lifnei iver lo titein michshol, not putting a stumbling block before the blind, is called Misayeya L'Ovrei Avera. Helping, aiding, and abetting is the technical term in police language, in legal language. Aiding and abetting in the commission of a sin. Anything that you do which helps another person's sin is wrong for you to have done it. Again, let's use smoking as an example. The same Rav Chaim David Halevi was asked, what do you do in a situation where somebody asks for a light? He pulls out a cigarette, he turns to you and says, you got a match? What I say is usually, no, I don't. And occasionally I say, not only don't I have a match, but if I had a match with me, I would not give it to you because you're smoking and you shouldn't be smoking. Of course, I don't say that to everybody, but giving a person a light is aiding and abetting in the commission of a sin. What I mentioned before about the child buying cigarettes for his father, that's even worse because you're causing injury to your father. But here, it is an issue of misayeya l'ovrei avera, aiding and abetting in the commission of a sin. And by the way, this applies not just for the blind who don't know something is wrong, but even a person who says, I know it's not kosher, but I don't keep kosher. Yes, I'm Jewish, but I eat non-kosher, so I'll eat that. You can't give it to him. Now, it's just coincidental that two examples came with smoking. I don't really mean to dwell on that now. There are other times where I'll talk about it the whole time. I also don't want to run into people listening who are smokers who don't want to hear that there's a halachic problem in smoking, and then they won't understand the point that I'm making. The point I'm making goes for a myriad of examples of doing something which helps or causes someone else to do something that's wrong, and you have to watch out for it. I would even say, let's say, listening to gossip. Listening to gossip is forbidden by itself. Speaking gossip is forbidden. But listening to gossip is also helping someone else sin, because if you say to the other person, I don't want to hear it, he won't tell it. Not to you, at least. So that fits into that also. There are many, many other examples. Speaking of gossip, might as well be the next thing that we come to. Again, skipping a few mitzvot. Lo teleich rachil ba'amecha. Do not be a gossip. The body of halacha defines successive stages in this prohibition. Rachil is generally gossip. Gossip is not necessarily negative, not necessarily character assassinating. It is just gratuitous gossip for no purpose, and it is plain and simple forbidden. If that which you tell about somebody else is derogatory, is defaming to that person's character, then it is lashon hara, evil tongue, literally, which is, let's call it, a higher level of the prohibition of gossip, because it involves character assassination as well. Character assassination does not mean, as drastic as it might sound, destroying somebody's reputation. It means anything that you say that lowers the esteem for that person in someone's eyes. I now think less of that individual after you told me what you told me. That is forbidden to tell as Lashon Hara, a subdivision, an intensification, we'll call it, of Lo Telech Rachil Ba'amecha. Now, I must add that there are situations where you are allowed to say things about a person. My friend is going out with this guy, and she's falling in love with him. It looks like this is it. I might have to say, the guy can't be trusted. I lent him money, and he laughed in my face when I asked for it back, and he ripped me off, and he did it to other people as well. This is an important thing to tell other people. However, one has to be very delicate about it, and ideally, one should go to the individual in question and say, I heard you're seeing so-and-so, I feel obligated to tell her about your untrustworthiness, I think you should do it yourself. I don't know if that always works, it probably doesn't, but it's something to keep in mind. A worse level of Lashon Hara is when it's fabricated. In other words, Lashon Hara could be the truth. It usually is the truth, but it's unnecessarily derogatory. Motzi Shemra means that you lie in order to defame somebody, and that is a more intense and serious level of that which is serious in the first place. Rechilut, gossip, Lashon Hara, and Motzi Shemra are three examples of misuse of our power of speech, a God-given gift to human beings which we dare not misuse. I'm running short of time. I don't have much left. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself, comes from Parshat Kedoshim as well. Hopefully we will have opportunities in the future to speak about that and many, many other mitzvot. Let's just sum it up by saying we are commanded to be a holy people as a nation and as individuals. There are many, many paths to holiness, and there are paths that are not to holiness, even if someone thinks so, and we need proper religious Jewish Torah guidance to maximize our quest for becoming better people. I would like to play another track from that Noam production album. This one I've played before with instrumentation. This is the a cappella version. It is a song called Tinatzel Nafshi, and it is a passage that comes from that which some people say before they put on their talit each morning. Tinatzel Nafshi, which you will hear misaccented as Tinatzel Nafshi. You have to be a little tolerant when it comes to songs. The words are, actually the words right before the ones that are in the song are Va'al Yedei Mitzvah Tzitzit, through the commandment of Tzitzit, tassels, they render here in English, May my life's breath, spirit, soul, and prayer be delivered from external impediments, and may the talit spread its wings over them like an eagle stirring up its nest, hovering over its young. My guess is that since the talit is put on for the morning service, part of the introductory prayer is a prayer not just for the talit itself, but saying in the merit of my observance of this mitzvah of tzitzit, of talit, may my tefillot, as well as my soul and my being, be spared impediments, protected from impediments, and therefore may it be pure, and may my prayers be efficacious, if that's the right word, I hope. While I put you on pause, I looked it up, and I'm satisfied with the word, so now listen, lean back, close your eyes, and enjoy and relate and internalize the prayer of Tinatzel Nafshi. Tinatzel Nafshi, Beruchi Benishmasi, Usvilasi. that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtabea.